Blog Talk Radio.
The man you're about to see
to do things for ourselves. We're tired of beating our head against the wall and working with someone else. Say it now.
Say it loud. We can do the boogaloo. We can do the slop, the black eyed peas, the horse, the pony, all those dances, right? The green onion. But we can do it because we can be loud. We can be happy and we can be proud. Music. Music is the gift, y'all. Music is it. And when you have music, you have a lot. How y'all doing this morning? I tell y'all, I was up early this morning, kind of threw me a little bit because listening to the news, I got a little upset. But, you know, I guess being upset is not going to help us. Solutions are going to help. And I know it probably happened in your community and everywhere. You know, when I woke up this morning and somebody was at the feeder ramp at Orleans and they got shot at and carjacked a man coming home from work. And all this stuff that's going on, you know, that H&M store downtown, my granddaughter go down there sometime, her and her little friends and shop. And I thought about it. That's the one that's off in school. And just and the little girls who just had a girls' party, combing hair and having a party, and somebody come up in there and shoot it up. Pearl's Place, a black establishment. You know, I helped build that. One of the places we go to and folks come out of town and they stay there. They stay there when they're having family reunions and things like that because you don't have that many hotels like that in the black community anymore. It used to be a lot when you had Roberts and all of, you had Roberts Motel and a lot of different ones you had, Grand and just different ones. So that's one of the few. And it's very viable and people go there and eat and people, when they got families coming in town, they let their families stay there. It is a black establishment who also own the South Loop. Those are two things that I made sure that we built so that we could have a place. I wanted to have a suite, the first black-owned suite. And when we built the South Loop, we talked to Hyde and got them to get the overflow. Very successful business, those two businesses. But when somebody, they killed somebody on the parking lot the other day at Pearl's Place. You know, coming in, pulling out their guns, jumping in, and then leaving out. That kind of got to me a little bit. Because in the daytime, I think 3 o'clock, somebody drive up with no license plate on the front and cardboard on the back. But and I mean, I felt like that was kind of sacred at Pearl's Place. The guy who got shot was from out of town, which means I'm not taking that and turning it into something else. Can we have something? Which means that it might dampen the business with Mr. Dobbs and all of them. I got to call him because people might say, well, don't go there. You know, they had, all you got to do is have one killing in our place and it'll close down. So it just kind of upset me. I don't know what it is. I've been in prayer trying to figure out what this is. Because, yeah, we've had violence and different stuff, but this is another level and something different. Anytime you somebody going to just go up in the middle of some girls decide they're going to have a girls' party where they just doing their hair and talking and dancing, somebody just break up in there and shoot up everybody. That's a, I don't understand what that is. I do know one thing. There's a lot of development going on because, you know, coming west, when you look at what they're doing on Cottage and 63rd, then you come west, what's going to happen, and I know y'all don't believe me, I read the Trib yesterday. I was reading a bunch of papers. I don't know which day it was, but it was in the Tribune for this weekend. It was talking about the shooting. But the way they described that shooting was the same way they used to do Robert Taylor and Stateway. And yeah, of course, the owner who getting all of that money is from New York. He don't even live here. And what happens is you have a thing. So those people have subsidy. You're not going to find a house like that based off your income where you can afford to live. You know, a lot of public housing people who start hating public housing people, they wouldn't have made it as a family if they hadn't had subsidy. But once they made it, they kind of put their foot and then look back at the folks who need subsidy now. I know I had someone that was in my organization. I think their parents had about 10 children, they told me, and they grew up in Henry Horner. And when they was trying to tear down the public housing, and I was fighting to save it, and he was one of my leaders, he was telling me, I'll forget them, they doing so-and-so, so-and-so. And I said, well, you think your mother would have made it with all those children if she hadn't had subsidy and y'all would have turned out like this? Yeah, but we different. I'm trying to see what the difference is other than the structure of the family and the structure. We said we have to look at what's different. But I said we need to save public housing and we need to get structure in there and we need to have some kind of, as Art always said, code of conduct. But we said, I said you have to have rules and regulations like they used to have and put folks out if they don't do what they're supposed to do. Rather than tearing them down, because a little child on State Street had a right to come home and know they have some housing, just like a person downtown on Lake Shore Drive. And those houses was really built real nice. But they let it; they had deferred maintenance, let the stuff go down, let it get all ragged, and just start letting anybody move in, the children and everything. And never in the history, no other race in this country have allowed that many of their people to get this place. And it wasn't just Stateway and Robert Taylor. It was Henry Horner. It was Cabrini. And all the public housing all over this country. And I remember how they, when Harold got in, when Mary Washington got in, we began to start trying to fix it up. And this also was a lot of employment for black people over there, too. But let me skip back to Parkway Garden. That's a house, and that's where Michelle used to live, too. The former first lady, Michelle Obama. So when I began to read that language, the video I read the language, you'll see it was the same language they used when they got ready to tear down the development. Now, that's 600 and some units, I think, over there, maybe a little bit more. They get ready to tear down. Oh, they don't get – I was reading, I said, oh, no. Those people are going to have to start looking for a place to stay. And where are they going? Because – and I got to study this because I don't know whether they're still giving out tax credit. When I was in office and before, there's a thing called tax credit because we built a lot of, based off your income, rehabbed a lot of based off your income apartments. And most of them are doing fine. I go by and check them out. And because they used tax credit, they had so many years that they had to give based off the income. I think maybe 15 years. Now, some of that time is up now. So if you're in some of those places, you're acting crazy, what's going to happen, the landlord's going to just sell the apartment and turn them into condos, something like that, and y'all going to be hollering about affordable housing. So what's happening, I don't know the structure of Parkway, but I know the man out of New York would not be having that if he wasn't getting some kind of government subsidy. What do? They'll make you pay $25, $100 a month, maybe some people pay $30, $10, and then the government pay them big money because they charge a lot of money. That's why folks say, I'm going to give me some subsidized tenants. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get that. What I read, if you read this, you will find out they getting ready to take those buildings. Now, why? Because if you looked at 6th and 3rd and Cottage, where they really finna render, they had to render another big old building they finna do, and they coming west. That's not Butler's. King Drive to Cottage Grove is not that funny. The UFC is coming on over that way, marching over. And there's a relationship between violence and the takeover of a community. Because some of our people were black people who got families, just leave. They just go. They don't want to stay there and fight, and they pray the kids get in the house, and they leave. So then they leave the riffraff. And then the other folks, and you know what I found out? A lot of those people in public housing, even they were selling drugs or doing what they was doing, those who was causing the problem, they was living in the suburbs somewhere with somebody else where they had money. They didn't even have their own children there. So they lived somewhere else. That's where they did their business. And then the other ones living there was just being used by them. But I saw when I read that, if you can get the paper, please read it, and you can see what I'm talking about. So I just wanted to bring that up because of the violence. There's a level of hatred, and there's danger here, y'all. And I'm not trying to tell, and it's probably all over the country. Women be out here, and they're getting carjacked. They just, all of a sudden, somebody putting a gun in your face, and they just take your car and take you and throw you out. And they do it men, too. And most folks are on their telephones, and they're not paying attention because you're not aware. You're sleeping. They know it. You be so into your conversation, that you don't realize the danger that's going on around. And I don't know who the children are, where they come from. I don't know what's going on here. And like I said, we've had violence, but this is another kind of violence. It's some disrespect for women and children, and it's something else. And now they're putting a pot all over the place. You know, so you got to worry about folks driving and they hide and they running into you. A doctor told me that some of this stuff, I had a doctor who went to a conference, and he told me he was one of the few black doctors that was there. And they was trying to get ready for the hallucination and all the stuff that some of this stuff is going to bring. Children are going to be eating this stuff, and they're going to be throwing up and psychotic. Because it's not, he said, now, you know, all of them, when I was in school a long time ago, he called it herbs. And he said, it really smelled like herbs. He said, this stuff, he said, they mix all kind of things with it to try to make theirs better than this, that. And he said he was at a conference in the northwest suburb, and it was all white doctors, and some of them was, or other color, people of color, one or two blacks, and they was trying to discuss how to deal with all the hallucination things that's going to happen with this pot stuff. That's a whole other discussion that I can't go into right now because that'll take up all my time. But I'm wondering some of them, and that's stuff you said, how they have grown it. They didn't just all of a sudden came up with this stuff. They already got the product, and some folks have mixed it all up. And he said, babies getting candy, eating it, or children throwing up at school. He said a lot of stuff they discuss. But I'm going to talk to them some more, but I'm not going to get off it. I'm just saying, as you're driving, you don't know what somebody high or drunk, or what the stuff had them hallucinating. I want to know what make these folks. And see, some of that stuff is we're responsible in the black community for. Why do you say that, Dorothy Tillman? Because we make our people hate the police. Hate authority, nothing, they're not responsible for anything that happened. There's no responsibility. Why they mess with you? It's not your fault. they mess with you and you wasn't doing nothing. No. You can't help it. It's because of your circumstances, this and that. That's why you do it. Not true. Because regardless of where we came from, there was always something we did within our community in terms of the protection and how we did it. You know, you got other folks out here now, I want you to know. Other folks out here killing, having all kind of little things going on in their community. But it's the black stuff that's highlighted, and why? That's the question. Now, you got these other folks building community, building businesses, doing their stuff. They be out here fighting whatever they're doing. But the destruction is not as deep as it is in our community. It's some deep stuff, y'all. But I'll go back to hate. How can you talk to your child? I know my children was growing up, even out my grandchildren. If I had something to say about an adult, I would leave the room, make them leave the room. My children never heard me talk about. My children never heard me talk about any adult, their teachers, or anybody when they was growing up. And I had some, opinions about some things that I had to deal with when I had to go deal with it. But I would let them sit up there and get in the conversation with it. Because you got to make them respect adults. Even my grandchildren, I said, leave out. I'm talking about some. Oh, grand, no, this is not your business. You have to leave out. But what is it? And who is it that's doing this? And why? Now, how can you talk about how mean the children are when you're full of hate? Hate begets hate. Love begets love. Y'all hate for no reason. I'm going to tell you, these folks have taken control of our minds. It's like when you're an empty vessel, folks will just pour into your head whatever they want to. I was talking about the other day about politics in terms of we used to be independent. We weren't just regular Democrats or Democrats this or Republicans. We was independent. When black folks came over to the Democratic Party, they stayed independent. And they're not progressive. When they started that progressive stuff and moved us from the independent, we started being empty vessels that they're filling our head with hate. That even when there's stuff for our own good, we can't even accept it and go get it. Who's fighting for these children? Now, when I read the mayor says she's going to put together a plan for poverty, I want to see the plan. You cannot get rid of poverty without a person, parent, being able to work. They have decent housing, decent schools, and businesses. If you have a business, you're going to hire black people. Study shows. If you have a business, you will hire your people. You're going to do that. So we got to look at what are we doing? What happened here? How can you sit and talk about, okay, your children, okay. I heard Bobby Rush yesterday on Maze. I was quite embarrassed. I tell you, Bob, I was embarrassed because I never thought you would take that position. You know, I've always been my friend, even when I wasn't, tell my children, no, Bobby's my friend, and I've known him for a long time. But I have to take, for him yesterday to be on this show, talking to the black community, and we all know it's all about money. Everybody running behind this man is about money. To explain, this was Thursday, talking about, maybe it was Thursday, might have been Friday, I don't know, talking about why he's supporting Bloomberg. And, you know, I forgot. I didn't even realize Bobby supported the crime bill. I didn't realize that. But how could, when those of us from down south know Bloomberg, those of us who have dealt with this kind of white man, he mean what he said. Y'all be letting the white folks tell y'all about the Klans because they use that to make you get emotional. But they don't tell you about the John Birch Society and the White Citizen Council. There are some different kind of racist white people. See, they use racism, racism, racism to have you jumping, jumping, jumping. And they should know about the Klans because the Democrats and all of them started the Ku Klux Klans. The Grand Wizard. One no Republicans, no Klans, but it was all Democrats. I just want to tell y'all that for the record. That's how they know how to deal with us. But those John Burks of down south and people in the movement know what I'm talking about. They had the air and they acted like Bloomberg. And those folks was more very dangerous because they didn't put hoods over their head. They was in suits. They ran the businesses. And they ran the government. And they had attitudes just like you have. Oh, go Xerox it. And throw them up against the wall. They said, well, Trump was for a frisk, stop and frisk. Well, I don't know. Yes, he was. I hear some throw them against the wall. So was some black folks. Bobby sitting here and said that he voted for the crime bill. Okay, so y'all hate. All this hate y'all got going on. But it's all about money, and that's the problem. The people at the top take the money, and the community die. They take the money and the position for their stuff, and the community dies. This stuff with Bloomberg is all about the money. The stuff to hate Trump is all about controlling their Negroes. That's what it's about. Because black folks, this is the first time in the history of this country, and I want y'all to hear me, that we did not have a group of leaders who worked on behalf of the Negro people or black people. Regardless what our condition was, there was always a group of black people working for these babies, working for these teenagers, and working for the community. You have to tell me how many we got now. How many Nancy Jefferson we got, Isla Daggett we got, or Marion Stamps we have. That's us in Chicago. I'm not talking about a pity with a purpose, Ms. Walker. I'm not talking about Mary McLeod Bethune. I'm not talking about the Elims. Black women, I'm calling all women right now because black women have lost their darn mind. How would you let this man hold your baby when he said throw him up against the wall? Nobody can tell me why they hate Trump other than the fact of what he did in Virginia. And in Virginia, what did he do? He said, both of them wrong. Now, but the governor of Virginia had a black face and a Ku Klux Klan. But those who are over us told us, oh, don't be mad at him because we got to keep the governorship out of the hands of the Republican. So we got to go with this Ku Klux Klan man. It doesn't matter. He ain't going to hang you in the sycamore tree. He going to hang you in the oak tree. I'm just trying to tell y'all, empty vessels. Oh, don't go to that church because that old minister ain't no good. But yet when somebody get hurt or somebody die or somebody in the hospital, you know a minister that can come see them? Do you know this? And yeah, we got bad folks. We got some of them who even need to be. Some of them weren't called by God. I was telling one of my daughters the other day, I was trying to explain about hate and love. And I was going over the Dr. King piece of hate and love. And they was talking. I said, no, baby, that's not no love that these folks are giving our people. You know how you got wool and sheep clothing? You got hate and love clothing. They don't care nothing about us. We're just a number. The only time these folks care about us, when it's time to vote. Because if not, we would have built communities. When there's someone who starts building and doing something in our community, they take us out. And this, and I tell y'all, when I talk about myself, it's not, I don't care because I'm not talking because I'm mad about not being any place, because I fought for black folks all my life. But when you take somebody say, they say, we need to do, you take somebody and say, well, we're going to build this community. We have the whole community plan. We're going to build a black community for black people like Chinatown, Greektown, Little Village. And black folks, I'm going to make these funds available to you and show you how to use them so you can build your businesses, so you can build your houses. And it start working. And the white man, those same people that you love, your unions and all these other, even the teachers union, all of them came, the teachers union, all these folks, said, oh, no, we got to stop that. And they swoop in because somebody began to talk about the land. So I want you to know we're the only group in this country that when we do try to make a move, all hell break loose on top of us because our people are empty vessels. So all you got to do is make them hate somebody. And a person who have hate and love clothing like sheep and wood clothing makes you start hating. Hate do not let you think. Hate is destructive. When we were working with Dr. King and in the Civil Rights Movement, we were not trying to overthrow America. We was trying to make America be all it could be and that we had a right to exist in this country and we had a right to the resources. So what they've done is make black folks think that you don't have a right while everybody else is coming in and you're fighting. Bobby was mad about somebody at the border, then he being happy about Ms. Johnson and the people who got out of jail. Why didn't he go to the Dunn meetings and make sure maybe the HBCUs could have got more money? Why not go and deal with the prison program? Why not go? That's why you're there. Don't come here pushing no Dunn Bloomberg on me. This man, you saw what he was the other night. You look at him, he looked like bottom of a vampire or something. Look like a John Birch Society white man. Y'all have to understand who a John Birch Society. They were those folks, you go to the doctor, they say, if a Negro come to you and you're a dentist, take one of his tooth out if he don't need to. If she a woman, take her tube out. Whatever it is, whatever your profession is, you are to hurt those Negroes. You cannot leave them the way they come. The John Birch Society is more dangerous than the Ku Klux Klan have ever been. And nobody really, we know them. And nobody looked at the John Birch Society, and nobody have looked at the White Citizen Council. And they were Democrats. Yeah, I'm an independent. I'm going to be voting in the Democratic primary. And I'll talk about that later. But I'm trying to tell y'all, this hate y'all got going. I have people call me here. I just hate him. Y'all don't know why y'all hate anybody. Y'all hate Trump and anybody else. Just like y'all hated me, and just like one time when Hillary Clinton was running against, when before President Obama became president, and Hillary Clinton was running against Senator Obama, y'all hated Hillary because they told you to hate. Y'all thought that she had horns. Oh, y'all was ready to lynch her. Then, after that was over with, they said, it's time to stop hating her. We got to love her, y'all, regardless of the crime bill and all the other stuff. Now, most of these people that Trump is letting out of jail right now, people that Barbara Rush, he said he voted for it, and the Clintons, the bill that they did. That's why this woman, Alice Johnson, a whole lifetime in jail for dealing with some drugs. People in jail for having the so-called pot that y'all talking about, lifetime. All these folks in jail, three strikes you out, some of these folks Trump are letting out of jail are folks that Hillary Clinton them put in. So you don't think, you're not going to look at why we need to put Richard Borkin as a clerk of the circuit court. They keep you hating and looking another way, and they're going to slide another white boy in that clerk over Dorothy Brown. Dorothy Brown, where are you? When you first ran, you came to my organization. We were the first one to endorse Dorothy Brown. I said, put pearls on, do this, do that. And we worked with her. Now, Dorothy Brown got an obligation to be behind Ricky Borkin. Boy, we went with her because she was a black woman. Black woman, you need to support this black man. Very simple. But people get scared. And when they get scared, because they be trying to secure their own benefits. Now, I got to take a break, but I got so many. I've been waiting to come to y'all. You know, when Abraham Lincoln passed the Emancipation Proclamation, keep in mind with Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman, black women, y'all got to do something. You're lazy. You got to get your butt up. You're mentally lazy, physically lazy, and you're selling us out. And you're selfish. Not all, but those who have the ability to help this darn black community, you need to do it. Now, I was telling my aunt, I'm going to take a break. Give me 1 minute. I might not take one. But when the Emancipation Proclamation was passed, and Lincoln passed it after Frederick Douglass had to push him to do it. Anything we've gotten from government, we pushed, okay? So, anyway, don't do that to me. When the Emancipation Proclamation was passed, they said, go, you're free. And black folks went back and said, oh, master, I don't know what to do. I ain't got no clothes, got no food. Could you take me back? He said, yeah, let me set up a plan for you. And it's called Jim Crow. And it's called a plantation. And this is how it worked. Yes, master. They went because they was trying to survive. They had no idea. Now, let's fast forward to we gave up our life and we fought for the right to everybody. You fought for the right vote. We fought for representation. We fought for it. We put folks out there, and they just like the folks on the plantation. They're on a political plantation. They didn't understand how to leverage power or to work on behalf of the community. They got in there, and they saw this white boy in there moving and doing this other stuff, and they just fell into it because they didn't understand community. So they went on a political plantation without understanding that you were there to represent, to bring the resources, bring the education, bring the business, bring all that stuff back. It's kind of similar. The same way with some of the business folks. Not 100%. None of this stuff is 100%. Because some of you got some elected official understand you got some business folks. So we opened up the doors. They was able to go in and get these contracts and get these things and get all this stuff. Same difference. They got an economic plantation. Well, if I go over there and I try to help them, I might lose everything I got. So what I got to do is I'm going to put something under the table to them, and I'm going to take care of me and my family, and I can sit in the room with the white boy, and I can drink some wine, and I can grin. Economic plantation. And then it's on down the line. We said, we want black folks on the TV so we can be represented and we can be shown. Oh, well, I'm here. Not all. But this is what I'm going to do because I got to keep mine. We want black folks on these boards. The board plantation. Oh, I'm sitting at the table. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I'm going to take that and do it. So it's all this thing because black folks, because of the post-trauma slavery syndrome, because of that and because of the pain, when folks are fearful, you can get them to do anything. And because that fear have never been dealt with, these white folks are not just a white, any other race, even the black one, they use fear to make folks not work on their own behalf. They make sure. Fear and loss, they do that. Now, here we go. You got other folks coming to the country that we built trying to remake our country. You sit there trying to help them. You helping them. They left. Why do you do all that stuff they trying to make us do? Why do they do their own country like that to make it do? We're the only one. This is our country, and we're the only one don't have no currency in country. That's why we have a hard time. I know I need to take a break, but this is why we have a hard time, because we don't have currency and we don't have country. America's our country. We built this sucker. So they come here and they build communities. All of them, black is the only folks who don't have a community. Whether they're Chinese, whether they're Arabs, whether they're Hispanic, whether they're this, whether they're, whatever they are. And you notice, they build communities. And we have to operate within American community and build laws on our culture. And they made us get rid of all of our stuff and do all our stuff. Y'all want to put it on the civil rights movement, which is not true, but it's an illness. And it's fear of losing yourself, losing your life, and doing all that. I remember, and I got to take a break because I got to come back. I remember when I was doing this, somebody told me, you got to stop that black stuff. You don't stop that black stuff, you ain't going back in. I said, whatever stuff I'm going to get. My people have a right. So we have to have that kind of attitude. It is hate and love clothing. These people got you thinking that they love you. They only love you during election time. Because if they loved us after election time, we wouldn't be in the state that we're in. Look at our schools. Why are these boys and girls out here killing and doing this other stuff? You gave up on God, too. You like the people when Moses led the people, was taking them to the promised land before Joshua took it. Joshua had a hell of a time taking that. That's how I feel with Dr. King gone, those of us who are left behind. Because they took all their gold and started building a golden calf that you ain't going to get nowhere. And they start dancing and wishing them an idol god. In essence, that's what we're doing. We cannot change our community if our children and the people around us keep hearing hate and keep us denouncing our God and keep us looking at hate and love clothing and let other folks feed our vessels. We cannot do that. Talk of Chicago 69 WVON. Coffee Tea in a conversation with me. Dorothy Wright Tillman, 312-374-8130. We're streaming live at www.vun.com on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. I'm going to take a one-minute break in a minute. We're on Facebook. We're on Blog Talk. We're on all that. And I'm for Richard Borkin, and we're going to put you in, Richard. And Dorothy Brown, you better get your butt behind Richard like we did you. Get your coffee, get your tea. Come on back and talk to me. I'll be right back.
Who's the principal? What are the class sizes? Will it be a good fit for my child? Choosing the right elementary school for your child is one of the hardest and most important decisions a family can make. But now's the perfect time to get answers to all your questions and learn about the great options for free, high-quality education at public charter schools in your neighborhood. Join the Illinois Network of Charter Schools for the K-8 student enrollment fairs. Talk to school leaders, meet student ambassadors, and connect with other parents at enrollment fairs on both the South and West Sides. Visit the West Side Fair on Saturday, February 22nd from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Learn Excel, a Level 1 charter school, 3021 West Carroll Avenue. And hear about South Side Schools on Wednesday, February 26th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Horizon Science Academy, 5401 Southwestern Avenue. There will be food, information, and lots of fun and entertainment for kids. Prepare for the next school year today. For more information, visit the Illinois Network of Charter Schools website at incschools.org.
Here's what you need to know about the 2020 Census. The Census is a simple questionnaire that counts everyone living at your address on April 1st. It guides how billions in funding gets used for roads, clinics, schools, and fire stations. It determines the number of seats Illinois has in the U.S. House of Representatives. And your information is safe. It can't be shared with anyone. It's the law. Just look for an invitation in the mail starting March 2020, completed online by phone or by mail.
I'm Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle, and in Cook County, we all count. Be counted by participating in the 2020 Census.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Our number is 312-374-8130. We're streaming live at www.vun.com. We're on iHeartRadio. We're also on Blog Talk, and we're on other things. I'm talking, y'all, because come on, y'all. We can do this. I know we can. We just got to bring it together and do what we got to do. Okay, I'm back, y'all. Dorothy Wright here. Coffee in the conversation with the great city of Chicago, WVON. I'm going to see if I can take a few calls. I don't know. Marvin.
Hello, Dorothy. How you doing?
I don't know. I'm fine. I'm telling you, Marvin. I'm telling you. Empty vessels.
Well, you know, well, let me say this. You mentioned about the code of conduct. And I know the caller that always talk about that among our people.
Well, Dr. Anderson always talked about the code of conduct. And it's in his book, or Black Label, White Wealth.
That's right. Mm-hmm. But if you look in the Bible, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 18, 19, 20, and 21 will tell you, and nobody wants to talk about it. I've been trying to tell people about it, but nobody wants to talk about those verses because those verses are about how you raise your family, about the evil that's out here, the darkness and the blindness in people's hearts, and the lasciviousness that's going on, and the people that don't know who Christ is. And they have not been taught to follow Jesus.
Well, let me ask you this, Marvin. And I agree with you, and I take my children to church, and we believe in following God. I mean, we believe, you know, and I've raised them. But tell me, how can you be a Christian and hate? How can you hate? How can your children
You don't
sit
really hate. You just really don't have to just point out the wrongs.
Yeah, what's wrong, you do what's evil. But you hear folks will come on this thing, And they hate Trump, and they say they're Christian. This man, you ain't got to vote for him. You ain't got to spew so much hate. He let this woman out who was in. They gave money to the black college, all the stuff he's done. Rather than saying, okay, we're going to go get our resources. I hate him. Don't want it. Don't do this. That hate is in the air. Love is an awesome thing, Marvin.
So let me say this here. Trump passed, talking about passing a bill where prayer come back in the schools.
He put prayer in the school. And you know what somebody told me, Marvin, when I told him about it? Oh, he just did it for so-and-so. That hate. We need prayer in the school.
But we need prayer in schools among every candidate that talks about that's running.
And we need to ask them, do you support prayer in the school?
That's why we do things are done the way they done. And no discipline, no nothing. We need to go back to get God.
Got to go back, Marvin.
God in there.
Got to go back. I'm with you, Mom. I tried to take you before I went on break. I'm going to try to take Alan for a second. Thank you, Mom. I appreciate what you said. And the fact you just said that about Trump and prayer in the school tell me a lot. God is good. Thank you so much. Alan, how you doing?
How you doing, Sister Dawn? You know how Prug Obama got a lot of people to vote and a lot of people know about black and white because, you know, when you hear the radio, you said a lot of people are angry, you know, by their conversation. He stayed on his BlackBerry. In the 2000, the Internet came out. President Obama could have passed for a white man. I'm serious because everybody was on, the Internet. And said, who is this guy? I didn't even know the guy exists.
All I know is he didn't do nothing for us, and folks get mad when you say it. And he would always, when black folks ask him for him, he said, make me do it. Pull your pants up. Stop eating chicken. Now, we did it, and God got to forgive us. We voted for Obama because of the color of his skin, not the content of his character. That's why we did it, because we was proud to have somebody black.
You know why? He made a good move, getting Stephanie Ryland Blake, the former mayor of Baltimore, to show that his apology is sincere. I'm saying
he let the FLNA lady out from the Puerto Rican who had bombed and killed some of these folks who had went to him, tried to get pardons. Alice Johnson tried to get it. The girl Perry tried to get some other stuff. He didn't touch no black folks then. Hey, I got to go, Alan. Thank you for calling. Talk of Chicago, 69-VON. Get your coffee, get your tea. Dorothy Wright, tell them 312-374-8130. We're streaming live at www.vion.com. Get your coffee, get your tea, y'all. I went over. Come on back and talk to me because I'm feeling God up in here this morning.
The Talk of Chicago is 1690 WVON, Sherwin, Chicago.
Correspondent Ivan Watson says a ban on demonstrations in an attempt to limit the spread of the illness hasn't worked.
One of the measures that the Seoul city government took to try to prevent the spread of the disease was to announce that the weekly opposition political gatherings in downtown Seoul should be banned. There are thousands of people here who have defied that ban and are gathering, as they do pretty much on every weekend, again, despite the ban.
More than 2,300 people have now died worldwide from the virus. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders going into today's caucuses in Nevada, the clear favorite following his victory in New Hampshire. The day before the caucuses, presidential candidate Mike Bloomberg said he is willing to release at least three women from non-disclosure agreements that had prevented them from speaking publicly about sexual harassment or discrimination suits filed against him. Correspondent MJ Lee is in Las Vegas this morning.
This was probably one of the top issues that the campaign expected either the moderators or some of his rivals to ask him about. And I think it really escalated because Senator Elizabeth Warren was very set on going after him on this issue of the NDA.
It's going to be a less than ideal day for caucusing in Nevada. Rain and snow will make roads treacherous. An area of low pressure off the Pacific is moving into the desert southwest, bringing torrential rain to Arizona as well. A week-long negotiated reduction in violence has begun in Afghanistan. Other groups in the country want to see the deal fail and may violate the truce, however. There are already reports of violence in the country today. I'm Christopher Cruz.
This is John Greenhut, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Even better, there's no messy strips or trays that you'll have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-679-0969. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, or even with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Affordable term life insurance is out there. Call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-481-1458. 800-481-1458 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too.
The European Union is considering new limits on high-risk artificial intelligence.
Self-driving cars, medical devices, facial recognition, all high-risk innovations. And so far, Europe has led the world in creating ways to regulate them. Well, the European Commission wants to end black box AI by requiring human oversight. The Commission is also encouraging a continent-wide debate on facial recognition systems, which can already target people in crowds without their consent. And the public has several months to comment on these proposals. I'm Evan Haining.
A man accused of fatally stabbing two men who prosecutors say tried to stop his racist tirade against two young black women on a commuter train in Portland, Oregon, has now been convicted of murder. The verdict against Jeremy Christian came yesterday after an emotional trial that included testimony from both women and the survivor of the 2017 attack. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Credit products are issued by WebBank, member FDIC. Rates and terms vary based on credit history. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Offer valid for loan products 90 days after today. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
How do I feel? Awesome.
Like a huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders.
Hundreds of thousands of people are discovering the relief of a fixed-rate debt consolidation loan through Avant.
I paid off all my credit cards, and now I just have one easy monthly payment with Avant. And I don't have to worry about the rates going up.
Avant offers you access to unsecured debt consolidation loans from $2,000 to $35,000.
When I saw Avant was accredited by the Better Business Bureau, I knew that was the company for me.
Do you know how good it feels to only worry about one monthly payment?
Experience the relief of a debt consolidation loan through Avant. Plus, get a free $50 Amazon gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your loan options and get this free offer, go to Avant.com and enter code 8282 when applying. Avant.com, code 8282.
This is Congressman Danny Davis. On March 17th, let's make history and elect Richard Boykin as the next clerk of the Circuit Court of Cook County. He is a compassionate lawyer, committed father to his son, and a product of the Inglewood community. He has never been afraid to take on institutional power. We did it for Harold. Now let's do it for Richard. Let's make history on March 17th. I ask you to vote for Richard Boykin as clerk of the Circuit Court of Cook County.
Paid for by friends of Richard Boykin.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit IdentifyEPI.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
After 40 years of radio, First Church of Love and Faith in the Archbishop Lucius Hall finally coming to WBON Radio, 1690, the talk of Chicago.
And that's right, the Archbishop Lucius Hall and the First Church of Love and Faith, Sundays, 5 p.m. on the talk of Chicago, 1690. This is WVON.
Do you want to know what WVON 2.0 looks like? It's VON TV. Our very own digital TV channel is coming to a smart TV near you. That's why we're the voice of the nation. It's VON TV, powered by WVON Radio. Our future is now.
Stay tuned.
This is Reverend Dr. Otis Moss III at Trinity United Church of Christ, located at 400 West 95th Street on the south side of Chicago. We invite you to worship here at Trinity United Church of Christ. We have three worship services, 7:30 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6 p.m. Or join us on WVON during our broadcast every Sunday at 6 p.m. WVON.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON.
We're your original social media.
Hashtag Dorothy Tillman on 1690, the talk of Chicago.
The present has brought her, facing the rising sun of new safety, let us march on till victory is won. Stony the road.
Days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now.
Because I've been to the mountaintop. And I don't mind. I didn't know how difficult these days would be. But I've been to the mountaintop. You know, I feel like a mountaintop experience up here this morning. You know, Dr. King said when you have a mountaintop experience, you're in another zone in another world. And you feel and you look and you see and you don't care. You don't worry, because you know God is. And you got to step off those plantations. I'm telling y'all. It's 7 o'clock wherever you are in the country, in the state, in the city, in the world. My God, people come here and they do and they make it, and we still being stepped on. God. Black folks, wherever we are, especially in this country, they got to hold us down. Everybody who come here joined in, and they help, and we help them too. It's 7 o'clock, wherever you are in the country, in the state, in the city, in the world. You got to take that deep breath because you got to do it this morning like you never did it before. It is that black time. Take a deep breath. Let black go to the bone. Come on, Titus. Is that black enough for you? Is that black enough? Take a deep breath. Black. Come on, y'all. Come on. Come on, the heart and the soul is one. Let's call on the Holy Ghost God. Black. No, they don't want you to believe in Jesus because Jesus was born in Africa, and they don't want you to understand your royalty. Black. Is that black enough for you?
Am I black enough for you? here tonight and plead.
This has special meaning this morning, y'all.
Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody.
Hear me at 6 o'clock hour, that's on you. And that's all we're going
to
talk about.
I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us.
Nobody can do it for
us. No document can do this
Dr.
for us.
Dr. King trying to direct y'all, and they directing y'all somewhere
else. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation.
Baby, 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 Dr. King, this got special meaning this morning, y'all. You got to do it. We have to break. We have to break and form. Another generation growing up uneducated.
Don't let anybody take your manhood.
Another generation growing up know what it is to own businesses.
Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of.
Another generation growing up without understanding who God is.
Somebody told a lie.
Yeah, they told a lie.
They couched it in language.
Hate and love clothing.
They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the
synonym.
They
made hate and love. Love, hate.
It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Ha! But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and I'm beautiful. I'm so beautiful, I'm so black, I'm so smart. That's what you tell your child. I tell y'all, this been a morning. This been a morning. It's all a mountaintop experience, y'all. It's a mountaintop. And those who do not hear me in this 6 o'clock hour, you cannot call it taking me off of what we own. We're going to stay here. Those who heard me, you call in. Our number, you listen to Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON, 312-374-1130. We're streaming live at www.von.com. On our heart radio, take us wherever you go. Tell everybody, bring me that notice. Take us wherever we go. We're also on Facebook group, Facebook. And we've been talking, y'all. We're talking hate and love clothing. We're talking about how these people are filling our empty vessels. We're talking about what we got to do as a people. How can someone sit up here, hate somebody, who get the folks out of jail that Hillary Clinton them put in? How can you hate somebody who give to the black colleges? How can you hate somebody who put prayer back in the school? The Step One Act. How can you hate somebody who do the reform, let this woman out of jail? I'm not telling you who to vote for, but that hate because you are empty vessel being filled. And all the stuff that you won't go get, Opportunity Zone, everybody is getting it because they're filling us as empty vessels. When I see Bloomberg, he reminds me of the John Birch Society. You have to know those kind of, you don't know those kind of folks that hate from white folks. You don't understand what a John Birch Society or white citizen council person is, and they look and they sound like him. Bobby ought to be ashamed of himself on this radio the other day, pushing this man. The Black Caucus ought to be ashamed. You were there to represent black folk, but you signed that crime bill. Because it was easy than getting in here and dealing with resources and dealing with education and jobs. Sign the crime bill. Lock them up, as Blumler said. Anybody who Xerox them. How can you sit here when a man said that redlining was good for us, and when they moved redlining, that destroyed the housing? How we hate ourselves so bad? Why? We got to save our children. Why are we killing? Why are we disrespecting children, mothers, and all the other stuff? Because other folks are pouring into us like an empty vessel. Ms. Mayor, if you want to help the poverty program in this city, we got to get some of the contracts. We need some businesses. You have businesses? People have black folks, just like these other communities. We need to build a community for black folks, not other folks coming in and building. We need to look at these schools. Oh, yeah. I'm going to the phone. I'm going back to this phone, and we're going to talk to Ebony to bring me the thing. And I talked about sharecropping, and it's in all levels. I told y'all. It lacked the Emancipation Proclamation got signed, and everybody went back on the plantation and said, yeah, Master. Same thing with the politics. When we put folks in this political stuff and we didn't train them and teach them, they went and they fell in line. Business all across the board because it was new. And all these other folks, they got currency and they got country, and they came here with a plan. We were enslaved. We was not a slave. And what they do is use racism and they use our language to keep us on board till they get what they want and we get pushed to the side. This racism stuff is between the white Anglo-Saxon and the black man. Because what we went through here, when you read in the paper the other day, they're talking about the Japanese in California, the money they're giving them. I'm saying, y'all better wake up. We're being used. And it's being turned on us because of, how you feel as a child. I don't know how I would have felt if I saw my mama and my daddy and my minister, the community I grew up in, not nurturing me and not looking out for me. I grew up in a community, in spite of our circumstances, I had a community that loved me and looked out for me. I had a church that loved me. I had a family that loved me. Whether we had black-eyed peas and cornbread, we was healthy then anyway, collard greens and cornbread, buttermilk and cornbread. But the church on Sunday, chicken up, had love, didn't even know we were poor. Didn't even know we was poor, I should say, because there was so much love. Yeah, we had problems. But love have always lifted us, and we got to watch this hate and love clothing. Because if these folks loved us so much, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in. Yes, I'm supporting Richard Boykin. Dorothy Brown, you need to be supporting him too, like we supported you when you came along. There's no reason why Richard should not win. There's no reason why Scott Nivelle shouldn't go back. Oh, yeah, I'll be getting a Democratic ballot in the primary. Oh, in the primary. Heaven knows what I might do in the general. Okay, let's go to Brian from Evansville, Indiana. How you doing? Brian? Is Brian there? Is Brian there? Is Brian there? Okay, I got to keep talking for a moment, I guess. I want to go to Brian. Brian called me back. They said, you gone. He was online. You sure he gone? Okay. Let's go to Jeff from Oak Park.
Hey, good morning, sister.
Good morning, my brother.
Yeah, sister, you certainly said something. Yeah, we are being stepped on, and it's unfortunate that the individuals that we voted in these positions, they've been empty vessels for, foreigners. There's a new way forward bill.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
That Chuy Garcia passed. That
now he trying to pass. He got it in Congress.
Yes, ma'am. Two of his tools that Bobby Rush and that Danny Davis, they were co-sponsors.
Really, I got to see that because of that and Bobby.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That Tucker Carlson showed the faces, sister. And
well,
also
I missed that because I got to see because Jeff. Do they understand? They saying that you don't go from prison to deportation.
That's right.
Even if you're a criminal and killed a murder. But you
yes,
get
ma'am.
Stopped. When you get stopped tomorrow and you got something on you, are they going to let you go? Or are they going to run your plate and put you in jail?
I'd be in San Quentin somewhere or in Folsom Prison for,
Well, Dan and Bobby got to come answer for that.
Sister, and not only that, you mentioned these sisters that Lieutenant Governor that Stratton, she believes in sanctuary cities, that whatever they call it, the mayor, she believes in it.
But let me say, some of these folks don't believe in nothing, Jeff. They're empty vessels, and they're doing what's keeping them safe.
But
because nobody works against their own self.
Well, sister, what are we dealing with then, sister? Why are they pushing so hard for something while we're still talking about what we're talking about? Every day, every hour of
because the masses, Jeff, have always been the one that made a difference. And then when the masses rise up and fight, they step in. That's what I was saying earlier if you was listening. I said it's like When Lincoln passed the Emancipation Proclamation, those folks went back on the plantation because they didn't know how to take care of themselves. When we fought, when Malcolm, Dr. King, SNCC, all of us, CORE, with CORE, Ennis, Roy Ennis, all of us fought so hard for black people, they took these positions and did not take them with an understanding they go in and fight for black folks. They went in and they became political on the political plantation, not understanding they're supposed to be in there getting resources for black people.
Yeah, well, sister, these unfortunate ones that we're stuck with, they're fighting for the love of people who have a country. Like I said, they have a language, they have sanctuary.
And they have currency in country, you're right.
Yes, ma'am. These tools we have, they're fighting for them. So I just wanted to present.
Well, the masses are going to have to rise up. Harold Washington did not be, everybody write these books about Harold, but I'll be cracking up. Wait till you hear mine. Because they don't know how Harold got in. They don't know what all we did long before they even knew, because people didn't even know Harold Washington on the west side and everywhere else. We did that, the masses. Once the masses rose up, then other folks, they joined in. But the masses can't take it no more. How you going to take this? The masses is going to have to rise up. You have to rise up. But you're only important during election time. And black women, you got to stop it. You can't. We got to stop it. We've always taken care of our children, our family. And Bobby embarrassed me on this radio station the other day. Thank you, Frank. Thanks, Jeff. Frank from the West Side. Frank?
Hey, good morning, my sister. How you doing?
I tell you, I was so upset. Bobby upset me. Even when my son ran against Bobby, I went against my son. I said, I can't go. I can't fight Bobby because he's been out too long. Let me tell you something. Bobby Rush embarrassed me on this radio the other day.
I was listening. I heard that. Yep, I heard that. But listen, let me talk to you about Donald Trump and the hate that you were saying. I don't hate him. Me, myself, I don't hate him. I think a lot of the talk that's come out against him is more in line with fear, because they got a reason to be in line with fear.
Why?
What you said about Donald Trump, what he's done, that's good. And I commend him for that.
But why you got to wait. Hold up, Frank. You ain't going to get away with that.
Okay.
What you got to be fearful of? Tell me.
Oh, this right here. I listen to other shows like Tom Hartman.
No. Tell me. No. You ain't, I ain't got much time.
Oh, okay,
I need to know the fear.
Okay.
What's the fear factor?
If Donald Trump get reelected, they hold on to the Senate and take back the House, they plan to call for a constitutional convention.
No. You ain't told me why we got to be fearful of him yet.
Because they want to change the Constitution.
Who is they? And who told you that? And where you get that
the
from?
Republicans. Tom Hartman.
Republican.
The Constitution.
You Tom said Hartman. That, Ms. Cummings.
You know Tom Hartman. If you know Ed.
Wait. I'm not going to argue with you. I want to get facts. See, my show is to talk to people and to educate. It's a conversation. Y'all so used to dropping stuff and arguing and going on. I'm trying to understand why my people are fearing this man and you're not fearing this other stuff. You're taking Bloomberg money. He done said throw you up against the wall and black women standing around with their babies. He done said redlining. I'm trying to understand. Why is it that you're fearful? You might have a good reason, but you ain't told me yet why you fear him. You probably don't even know the Constitution. Why do you fear him? Do you know the Constitution, the Amendment? Tell me, why do you fear Trump? You might be right, but you won't tell me why.
I'm trying to tell you. They can make unconstitutional anything that they want to, and they can make constitutional anything that they want to.
So why? But you still ain't telling me why you fear him. I'm talking about black men, black children, black women. Why do you fear him?
Fear Donald Trump?
Yeah.
Because once he get in...
He already in.
No, if he get reelected, all those charges wait on him. You see, he has to get reelected.
Well, what do you think we need to do here? You think we ought to put Bloomberg in?
Miss Tillman, you're not letting me finish, though, baby. You're not letting me finish.
Okay.
All those charges just wait on him. He can run a statute of limitation on him. That's why he had to get reelected. Don't be surprised if he offers...
Oh, you've been an empty vessel,
too.
Frank. You ain't told me yet why. Now, who is that we should love and put in?
Bernie Sanders. You see majority of the...
Oh, come on here. Get off the phone. I'm gone. Okay. Yeah, you was an empty vessel being full. We need to have folks who are going to do something for black people. This, you know, that's what we need. Come on, you're an empty vessel. That's what these folks know. They know they got empty vessels on us. They know it because they know us, the black man, the descendant of an enslaved black in America. That's why they won't deal with the whole question of repairing this damage. And that's why black folks are all over the place. We need reparation. We need this. No, what we need to build a Marshall Plan, and we need to deal with this whole mental health thing. Lance.
God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I just want to let you know, as you already know this, but the listeners know, God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but he gave us the spirit of love and a sound mind. And we don't have anything to fear Republican Party for. We have to go ahead and continue to go ahead and vote our particular pocketbook. And right now, to be perfectly honest with you, as you stated so eloquently earlier, we shouldn't be about hating Trump. The things that he has proposed for black people, not for people of color, but for black people, we need to go ahead and get into the room and see what we could get. And I just wanted to give you as much encouragement as I can to keep I'm going to have to start calling you Minister Tillman because or Evangelist Tillman, because you're really, really doing an excellent job, my sister, getting the word out and just be encouraged.
Yeah. Black folks used to be Republicans, so, but you know what, Alain, black folks used to be Republicans, and they hated Democrats, you know, now they're Democrats. And they're Republican. I mean, we don't build off of, you know, the Bible said build it on a solid rock, not sinking sand, you know.
Right.
And we hated sinking sand.
Sinking sand. And to be perfectly honest with you, like you, I'm very disappointed in Bobby Rush. Bobby Rush is a former Black Panther. He knows
that. He acts like a Peace Panther now.
He really, when Al Sharpton interviewed him on his show, Politics Nation, I was just so, dejected by some of the things that he said. So I'm with you there.
Well, you know what? The problem, when Bobby, and I didn't realize that I read it in the paper, Bobby voted for that crime bill. You know, and that meant the whole black caucus voted for the crime bill. I don't understand this. Look, it's like these women and these men that Trump is getting out of jail are folks that Clinton and that crime bill put in. And you know what else, Lance? The Bloomberg, Lance, you familiar with the White Citizen Council and John Burke's society, aren't you?
White Citizen Council, all of those, I'm very familiar.
And when you look at Bloomberg, when I look at this man, I had to pray. I took my Bible literally out and prayed, and this is God's truth. I almost call him a pastor, but I don't
I'm with
really,
you.
Because I saw John Burke's, Lance, I saw John Burke's society. And these black folks don't understand that. They understand that Ku Klux Klan, that these folks are put in an empty vessel, not knowing all them Klans were Democrats. But they see that, but they don't understand them John Burke Society is much more dangerous than the Ku Klux Klan.
It's more dangerous. But again, be encouraged, my sister. I'm listening to you. You're building a number of individuals on the East Coast, West Coast. I have my relatives listening to you out in California and other places. Just keep preaching what you're saying.
Well, thank you, and I just want us to get the word around that we got, like wolves and sheep clothing, we got to be careful with hate and love clothing. Folks act like they want to help us until we put them in and they don't do nothing. Thank you, Lance. Ken from Madison. Lance was from Boston. Ken from Madison.
How are you? I just want to let you know I still get up at 4 o'clock on Saturday just so I can hear you on TV.
Thank you.
You are on a path that I've never seen you on before. I don't know what it is, boy, but it is just absolutely great. They call here trying to tear you down, and you just stand there.
Yeah.
You don't argue with them. You just say they just got hatred for it.
You know what it is?
It was 2 years ago when Trump said, when he had let another person out, but he said, if you got somebody that you feel that have been wrong, you bring them to me, and my staff is going to look over it. And if I see that they've been done wrong, I'm letting them out or pardon them.
Yeah,
he said that
yeah.
2 years ago.
Right.
And whatever. And they still hating on them right now.
You know what? Now, this woman, this young lady, the young lady I heard on Perry Show yesterday, now, she tried to go and get pardoned by Obama. Obama didn't pardon her. Obama did not commute or do anything. If he did anything, as much as me and Jesse Jr. had our little fault, you would have think that he would have pardoned Jesse and his wife, because Jesse Jr. and his wife was very close to him and his wife, and they did a lot for them. You would have think he didn't do. I'm telling you, when I said I don't care, so yes, we voted for him based off the color of his skin, not the content of character. You know, we have to make sure You know, it's the FLN, that man he pardoned for the FLN who had blown up a bunch of stuff. Gutierrez went and got him pardoned. And I don't understand. Hate is so dangerous, Ken. Hate is dangerous.
Yeah, and the one that you was talking to just a while ago where you kept saying, give me the proof of why you should be spread. You know how you just keep – and he can't explain. He can't tell you why.
Talking about the Constitution, he don't even know the Constitution problem.
And when you get to talking to him, they get to raising their voice. They get to hollering. And you can see it's pure hate.
That's what the devil do.
Going after.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Okay,
you're
thank
doing
you.
You're great. I just love you.
Thank you. That's what the devil do. There's a song called Don't Let the Devil Ride. Because if you let him ride, he might want to drive. Don't let the devil ride. If you can, if you're standing on truth, you can be calm. You know, you get upset. And these people, I'm going to tell you, it's interesting. We used to go and have our mass meetings. And we'd be fighting. We'll be fighting for black people. But Bevel would get up and say, well, let me tell y'all what we're getting ready to do. And they couldn't stop us. Dr. King said, if you tell truth, you can't stop it. The only time you get scared is when you lie on somebody doing that. But right now, we're at a state and a place in the black community of total destruction. If we don't put on brakes and stop letting folks feed our vessels, we are in trouble. You hear me? I never thought I'd live to see a day that black folks would not fight for education. I never thought I would live to see a day that black folks would turn their back on God. No, they don't want you to know Jesus because Jesus was born in Africa to a black woman. Oh, no. Hate and love clothing. Lewis, how you doing? Lewis?
Good morning, Ms. Tillman.
Good morning.
You stole my fire when you quoted Dr. King when he said, don't judge me by the color of my skin, but by the contents of my character.
Right.
And that's where we fallen for that lie, like he say.
Mm-hmm.
They wrapped it in a lie, you know. they trying to say that we should be afraid of Donald Trump, but they not saying that we should be afraid of the Democratic Party's political platform that they're running on.
You know, they took God out of their platform at the last convention.
Yeah.
You know that, don't you? Yeah.
And you know what? What the political platform that the Democratic Party is running on is open borders.
Right. It ain't got this platform. This platform is not saying nothing about black people. Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. They're not talking about the education. Our children cannot read. They're functionally illiterate. These schools, when Trump say the government schools are messed up, they are. These schools
right.
are functionally illiterate. I turn out functionally illiterate students who cannot think, who cannot quote, cannot even do this stuff. They're not even equipped in the schools. We're not dealing with the schools. We're not
right.
dealing with the jobs. We're not dealing with building our community and businesses. I'm talking about some substance stuff. Substance.
And you know what? Ain't nothing in that political platform that the Democratic presidential candidates are running on addresses any of the stuff that you're talking about. The only one who addresses that is Donald Trump.
Oh, they just addressing hate. Hate.
Right.
And our representatives need to say, stop it. I come from a community that's decimated. I come from a community that business are going. If you're going to do this opportunity zone, which they've done, I'm going to use this to be in my community. Nope. The white folks are using it to come into our community, and they are using it. And black folks are hating. The Latino, all the other folks are using it. Right now, Lewis, they are fighting over there to get a post office for Latinos. This is a United States post office, not the United Nations. Now, if you want to make somebody be able to speak your language, take somebody with you. Because Spanish is not the only language in Chicago. We got other languages. You put all of them there, but no Durbin went and stood with him. Kim Fox, all of them standing with this. How are you going to take a post office, and that means a lot of black folks are going to lose their jobs, and say, oh, no, this post office is in the Hispanic community. We got to take this post office. No, this is not the United Nations. That's the United States post office.
And you know what? That post office, that's our middle-class job right there.
Well,
opening into the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
And they about to take that away from
well,
us.
Well, I don't think no post office should be made for no. You bring all this time we've been in this country. You came here, you learned the language. If you couldn't understand, take somebody with you or somebody try to help you. You won't take and chew it, but you can't get mad at Jesus because he's fighting on behalf of his community and our people joining in with him, Durbin joining in. If we allow that poster, and then the man at the poster done got scared. He done got scared. I think he's giving in because nobody's saying nothing. That is not the United Nations. That's the United States Post Office.
And you know what? And that's where Bobby Rush and Danny Davis supposed to step up, you know.
Well, did Bobby embarrass me?
The government.
Bobby have embarrassed me. He have stayed with that John Burke Society man, that John Burke man. That man remind me of John Burke. It's frightening, Lewis. You have to come from the South. See, we fought the John Burke Society when we were down South. They were more dangerous than any Ku Klux Klan. The Ku Klux Klan were Democrats. We fought them. They looked at us. Just look at Bloomberg. Just look at him. Did you see the debate Wednesday?
Yeah, I saw the debate.
Did you see him? Did you really key in on him?
They weren't talking about none of the issues that would address our issues.
Right.
They were just talking about each other. They were sitting there eating each other up, telling lies on each other.
Yeah, but did you see Bloomberg? Go back and look at his picture. And then you need to ask somebody. Look, I want my audience to look up who the John Burke Society is and who the White Citizen Council. Thank you so much. Dorothy, how you doing? Dorothy? Hello, Dorothy.
And one of them is that Dorothy.
Turn your radio down, Dorothy. Turn your radio down.
You are heroic. I just want you to know that. And the black community needs you on the radio during Todd and May's time because they don't talk about anything. And the third thing is Lori Lightfoot was on there on the radio show, on their radio show, talking about sanctuary cities. Advocating for sanctuary cities.
I missed the interview. Did they push back on it? I missed the interview, Dorothy. Did they push back on it?
Yes.
Did they ask them why we have a sanctuary city? Well, I want to know, can the black man get pulled over is a sanctuary where you can't run their license plate?
Well, you know that. You know, and the first thing to grab them is a Mexican cop.
Well, let me say this. See, what black folks don't know, that word done got taken from us. There's a book that was out about 15 years ago. I introduced it to the city, and people bought it. James Small sent it to me, and I even had the author. It was called Without Sanctuary, and it was about how black folks had no sanctuary. So black folks don't know that. That's why you have them talking about sanctuary. This is some deep stuff. Thank you, Dorothy, for calling. Let me just announce the Junior Writers Black History Month program today from 10 to 11 at the Timothy Community Corporation. It's the Old Price School at 4351 South Drexel. You're going to have some little young authors. I'm going to come. I got to leave at 10:30 because I got to take Dorothy Jean somewhere. But you need to come and see these young black authors at 4351 South Drexel from 10 to 11 at the Old Price School. Y'all remember Price? A new club to Chicago, a youth age 12 to 17. Who love to read, y'all. It's important that we support that. I'm going to go over that, but I can't stay long. Mama D. Good morning, my sister.
I went to Springfield on Wednesday, and these people, the room was so packed with people trying to get mass incarceration and mass deportation. Ain't no deportation in a sanctuary state and in a sanctuary city where border breakers are treated above the law and we are treated beneath the law. We're the only people in America that do not have a dual language. Everybody else have a bilingual, but us,
right.
We didn't come from no country. We came from a continent, stolen from a continent.
Well, wait, Mama D, wait a minute. One second. We came from countries off of the continent of Africa, but because we don't know which country we came from, because you got different countries within that continent, so we don't know what country. We just know about the continent. So America is our country. I just want to clarify that. Go on.
Say what I'm saying. I'm saying everybody that's here came by choice
right.
from a country. We were stolen from a continent. Everybody here can go back to their country by choice if they choose.
And know what they're doing, Mama D? Mama D, and they sending their money, they're building it up. I read in the paper the other day, I never knew where Chewy came from, Durango, Mexico. He said he was a native. First time he ever said, they said he was a native of Durango. That means, I'm telling you, these folks here trying to remake America. And when they remaking it, it's without us. They get ready to open. Now, what about that post office, Mama D?
But what I'm saying is bilingual will make us a permanent underclass.
Right.
Because we're the only ones in America that's not bilingual. We need to pass the English as an official language. We need to fight hard to get that bill passed.
Well, I agree with you, and I'm about to go back to what I was talking about. Not only are we the only ones, but the white Anglo-Saxon. This is the black man and the white Anglo-Saxon. Thank you, Mama D. I agree. Thank you. Let me tell you, I see Laura, I'm going to come to you in a minute. I heard somebody say yesterday on Maze, well, Trump ain't gave no black person on the Supreme Court. Well, neither did Obama. But we tried to get Judge Williams, we are Ann Williams, a bunch of folks. When that seat had opened up, we pushed for a black nominee. What did Obama do? He gave a Latina that. He didn't give it to a black. Laura, how you doing?
Thank you, Alderman.
Good how you doing?
Thank you for taking my call. Just quickly, I just wanted to point out, you often raise this question about hate and fear.
Uh-huh.
But when it comes to President Trump, and I agree with you.
Not just Trump. Wait, Laura. It's not just Trump. What I'm trying to tell black people, Laura, is that these people rule us with fear. It ain't got to be Trump. It could be somebody else. They make us hate rather than look at the issues that's confronting us. Like when Hillary Clinton was running against Obama, we hated her. They made us hate her. But then when she won, I'm just saying how folks get us to hate based off of hate rather than issues. That's what I'm talking about. Not just Trump.
And I'll concur with you that it is a distraction. It's just to get us emotional and to keep us from being rational. But we've got to keep our eyes. The thing that concerns me most about Trump is what's going on under the leadership of Mitch McConnell in the Senate as far as these conservative, ultra-conservative offices. You talked about the John Birch Society. They could likely all be members.
Well, let me ask you this.
These ultra-conservative judges who often
okay, now I want to say, I got you said, and one of the things you don't like is the judicial. Now, you're giving me something specific. The judicial nominees, you don't like those, and that's what worries you. That's what you're telling me, right, Lori?
No, ma'am, because those are lifetime appointments.
Yeah, I'm saying that's what you're saying that's not good.
Yes, ma'am, I'm saying that that's going to hurt our community.
Okay, let me ask you this. When there was an opening on the Supreme Court under our president, we all voted for him because of the color of his skin, and
I thought he was going to pick a black woman.
Right, we pushed. He ignored us. And black folks said, well, don't worry about it. They made us leave it alone. Why didn't folks holler and get his butt and stay on him? They put a black woman on. He put a Latino on there. We didn't say anything. We give passes to people based off their color, not their character. I don't care if it's Trump or Obama or you or me. We got to deal with the issues pertaining to our community.
Assessment. Now, Sotomayor has been a very good
Yeah, I'm finna go, Laura. I got to go, y'all. I'm not going into that. I love you, Laura, but I'm not going to do that. See, what I tried to get Laura to deal with when we was pushing as black people to get one, she wants to tell me how good this woman is. I want to know why didn't we get a black judge while Obama was in there. First, we sent him to the Senate. We sent him to the presidential. That's why God don't like that, y'all. God do not like that. You got to be fair. And you got to deal with this stuff based off of principle, character. I tell you, Demetra.
Good morning, Ms. Tillman. How are you?
I'm fine.
Okay, I agree with everything you say. I have this one thing to say, but I do have a little more to say. I got a sample ballot in the mail yesterday.
I got
and
one, too.
You know, Richard Borkin's name is not on?
No, it's not on there.
And I do not see Maze Jackson's wife on there for the Wilder Reclamation.
I don't know. Is she up? She's not up.
Oh, she's not up?
And you know what? Did you notice one thing about that, Demetrius? Guess who sent out the Democratic ballot? It was Durbin. Wasn't that deep that Durbin sent out the Democratic ballot?
Yes.
I thought that was very telling because before Prep Weeker is president of Cook County, how can he send it out? And they got a couple of blacks in there. And know what's happening, Demetrius?
What?
In their local community, they're not carrying those blacks. They're not carrying Kim Fox in the local communities. They're fooling us. That's why Durbin them on there. I think the community got to vote for Richard Boykins. We got to do that. We can make Richard Boykin win if all the black folks get out there. And I want to know what Dorothy Brown is. She needs to support Richard. Because when Dorothy Brown first ran, she came to me and we supported her. And you got to support this. You got to support Richard. There's no way any of these other folks should get this seat.
Right. And as there's no Kim Fox signs out here at all, I'm in the 34th Ward, and I do not see a Kim Fox at all.
I'm telling you, the game is on. I know about the game.
Yes. And then I want to say about that post office. I believe, just like you believe, bring somebody in and interpret it. And I feel like this here, if you want to change the rules and regulations, go back home. You got a country to go back home to and fight in your own country. Don't bring that bull over here to our country. You couldn't even fight in your own country.
Well, that's what they do. And like this girl from Minnesota married her brother. Her name, what's her name? The congressman from Minnesota married her brother so he can illegally bring all of his children here.
Oh, no, that's incest.
Did you see it, though?
No,
oh, look it up.
Not.
It's been all over the TV. See, if you only watch CNN, you won't see none. You got to watch all the stations because they part of the brainwash. I watch it. I watch CNN, MSNBC. I watch One America News. I watch Fox. I watch BET. I watch everything. Omar Elin, whatever her name is.
Okay, and I got one thing, too, to say.
But make sure you look that up. Look that up, what she did.
Okay, I will, and I got something to say about Bobby Rush, too. I have a family member, well, I would say ex-daughter-in-law. She had problems with, you know, getting housing and things for herself, and I called Bobby Rush's office, and by her living in Joliet, they told me they couldn't do nothing, but yet he goes down to the border.
I love you what you said. Bobby, I'm embarrassed of Bobby.
I am, too.
This money have taken these black folks, I'm telling you. They said Bloomberg dropped money in Chicago that's so deep, these folks untook it. And then some of the business folks. But when I look on TV and see this man holding a black baby, and they got a nerve to talk about Trump, I want to know what have Trump done. I'm not telling folks how to vote, but what have he done? What have he done to make you hate? Just so that's not my candidate. But these look like we love the folks who hate us, and we hate the folks who helped us. Thank you, Demetrius. Is that Michelle? Michelle?
Ma'am.
Is that
thank
Michelle?
Miss, thank you, Ms. Stillman, for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to say thank you also for encouraging people to stop looking at only MSNBC-type stations.
Yeah.
Because now I can hear the change. People have started to listen to you. So
okay.
Thank you for that. And also, as long as the 14th Amendment in the Constitution declares black has no standing at law, they need to change that. And so to the young man who is defending the changing of the Constitution, it's because he's been programmed to believe the negative.
Yeah, but he probably ain't even read the Constitution. I'm calling on my audience. I want y'all to go get a copy of the Constitution and read it. Maybe that's what we need to have, a discussion on the Constitution. I want you to go get a Constitution and read it and get these amendments, get all this stuff and know it. That's how we won. We won with America by taking the Constitution, beating them upside the head. They got us looking. I'm telling you, it's called what, two-card tamale, kamale, whatever that game is they used to play. What you call it, Michelle? Three-card tamale, kamale? You know what I'm talking about, that shell game? Three-card molly. Maybe they just wrote it for me. Three-card molly. They played the three-card molly with us, Michelle.
They, and in addition to that, the Democrats are afraid that we will be able to stand. And then those that fought against us will be they got a right to be afraid because they have played the game of being slaves, hurting their own people. And that's why the Democratic Party right now is pushing so hard, serving money, that's their God, to keep us in slavery. So when we change the Constitution and black have standing, people are going to have to stand and go against their own people, and that's what they're afraid of.
Well, I think, Michelle, if black folks would read history, find out the founding of the Ku Klux Klan and who did the Ku Klux Klan, they have more standing, and they need to find out all of this stuff. Learn about the John Birch Society. Learn all of this stuff. Learn why we need a Marshall Plan. If we would see one thing about Dr. King being on his staff, Bevel made us read. We could not just talk. We had to study. We had to read. We had to know what we was talking about. But these folks get on this airwave. They go on Facebook, and the leadership talks, and they have not read. They don't understand. You know, They need to read Kenneth Clark, Dark Ghetto. They need to read that to understand what Kenneth Clark was saying way back then. They need to read, you know, they need to read Dr. Adams' Black Label, White Wealth. They need to read Advice Among Masters. Advice Among Masters.
And you know what else we need to do? We need to petition that for them to overturn Dred Scott, the Dred Scott decision.
Well, let's stay right here and then
that's
we come
the
now.
First thing we need to do before we get reparations.
Well, wait a minute. Before we go, I want Michelle, let's stay where we at now. We got to stay here. Now, before we do that, we need, now they down there in Springfield making all these laws. Senator Shaw, before he passed, they passed this bill that said the education, black history had to be taught in the schools in the city of Chicago. Now, it is not in there. We need to make sure that happens. So we got to start here and then spread out, Michelle. We got to look at these schools, and we got to grade these schools. And you're going to find out the children are not being prepared. And you got to see that. It's a lot. We got to look at the contracts. You know how many contracts come through the Board of Education? See, we're not looking at the stuff like it's supposed to be because they got us over here with hate and love clothing and got us looking away. And while we're looking over there, they're walking away with everything, Michelle. Thank you for calling. Mike, how you doing?
Good morning. I just want to make a comment for everybody in the world relating to their own personal health. The medical associations has come out and acknowledged that, hey, when you hate and you're depressed and you're angry, you affect your own physical body.
That's true.
So
that, wait, Mike, hold, stay right there. That's true. You're so right, Mike. I'm glad you brought that up because the body and the mind, is the computer was built off that. You jam your computer. You come up with cancer. Hate is a destructive force. Mike, go on and talk. I like that. Thank you, Mike. Go on. Finish.
Yeah, so therefore we need to love the hell out of the people that we have problems with.
That don't mean you got to let them step on you. You got to push up. That don't mean they step on you. You ain't got time to hate.
And because you need to focus on where you're going and what you're about. You are going to get some distractions in life, but you just keep on maintaining to get back on course and doing what you're supposed to be about. Maybe we can't come together with some groups and so on, but we sure can express what we're supposed to be here and about and taking care of what we have a responsibility as individuals.
Let me ask you this, Mike. In that study that you read, did it say those people who go to church are more likely to have more love than folks who didn't?
Yes, it's been noted that people that's in a loving surrounding group tend to live longer than those that's not.
Mike, I appreciate
you. So surround
you.
Thyself with wise counsel, the book of Proverbs says. There's a lot of good stuff in that book for whatever denomination one is because there's a lot of good common sense.
Well, the common sense sustained us when we was enslaved as we came over here. Common sense sustained us through Jim Crow. The movement people, that's why I don't like them calling Dr. King MLK. He was Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., ministers have led, and we have always been. You always got some crooks somewhere, but that's why they've taken us away and they got us confused. Because if you know God, you ain't going to do no hijacking and shooting and cursing your mom and killing babies. You wouldn't do that because there is a consequence. Thank you, Mike. God knows. I'm so glad you was my last call. I'm so glad I got you. I'm so glad. I got to go, but let me try to get Manson for 30 seconds. He just came on. Manson, 30 seconds.
Hey, Hotep.
They told me I had to go, but I just looked up and saw your name. Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got to go. They tell me I have to go, but I took you in. Uh-huh.
All your listeners out there, let's get rid of Dick Durbin and vote for Dr. Willie Wilson. He's running against Durbin, to my understanding.
You saw he done sent this stuff out, don't you? I'm going to vote for Willie Wilson just as a protest vote. I hope he get in.
Yeah, let's get rid of
him. I'm going to vote for him. I ain't vote for Durbin, and I'm voting for Boykins. We got to get out of there. Thank you, man. So I got to go. I tell you, I've had a good time here today. Oh, Sharon gets Gillian passed. Her funeral is today at Unity. 11 o'clock is the wake. 12 o'clock is the service. But I got to go over to this book reading, and then I got to take Dorothy Jean somewhere. I have enjoyed y'all. I tell y'all, Pastor Hunt, I love you. It's so good to have you. He's been doing a series on love. Junior Writer Blocks. Junior Writers Block, Black History Month program today from 10 to 11 at the Old Price, 4351 South Drexel. I'm coming to speak to some of the young black writers, and I'm going to leave there for a minute. Y'all, come on over, y'all. I love y'all. God is good. You got the power. You got the power. God, I've invested the power in you. Our ancestors have invested the power in you. Our movement have invested the power in you. You got the power. You lose that power with hate. Watch these folks in hate with love clothing. You got the power. It's all in your heart. Your heart and your mind is one. God is love. You got the power. Stop being you. I'm not telling you what to do, but you got the power to elect Richard Borkin. You got the power. I'm voting for Willie Wilson. I don't know if he's going to get any votes or not, but Durbin ain't getting my vote. We got to put Borkins in. Dorothy Brown, somebody else might have called and tell you, you need to get behind Borkins like we got behind you when you first ran. I tell you, oh, we got to deal with these censors, y'all. I'm going to talk about that another time. And I know Albedelli coming behind me on the census, but we got to get our people out. I'm talking about black people. He probably talking about all people. But you got the power. Bobby Rush, I am so embarrassed. And I hope that Danny and Bobby is not on that bill. I'm going to go look. You got the power. That's why folks love you at election time and hate you the day afterward. And they tell you, y'all got to come out and vote. Well, we do come out to vote. That's how we made you. You got the power. You got the power. You got the power. You got the power. I see that cold, muddy water. Charles Bevel, James Bevel, baby brother. I see it, y'all. Don't worry about it, though. You have got the power. You got the power, y'all. Until then, Dorothy Wright Tillman, until next week, said reparations now.
Brutality in this slavery industry. Is this nation's foundation of Chicago of economy? What bothers me is the dripping of language.
Cause historic losses for the party in November. Sanders has now admitted he was told about a month ago by American intelligence officials about possible Russian interference in his campaign.
We're learning that Bernie Sanders says that U.S. officials briefed him saying that Russians are trying to help him win the election. This is coming on the day of the Sanders campaign clearly does not want this on the mind of voters and in the doubts of voters as they go to